Thank you, Erica. The title of tonight's message is Parenting on Purpose. Parenting on Purpose. And tonight's message of Parenting on Purpose, by the title, gives you the idea that this message is intended primarily for parents this evening. Parents, honestly, with children of all ages. The principles we're going to talk about tonight will work whether your children are young, still at home, whether your children have even moved on from the home and are in adulthood. Some of these principles will still apply. Interestingly, the principles that we're going to discuss from the Word of God tonight can go beyond specific parenthood with those with young children and can help grandparents, it can help aunts, it can help uncles, or anyone else essentially that has influence upon children. This message is intended to be a help to you. You see, children are really an important part of our society. Children are an important part of our church. Children are an important part of our families. And it is vital that we train children the way God has intended us to train them to be. With God's help, our parenting goal is that we would prepare our children for a godly life as an adult and at the same time prepare them to one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, such a goal can only be accomplished by parents who have a deep-rooted focus that is set deep in their heart. These kind of parents the way they do because they want their children most of all to love God with all their mind, with all their heart, and with all their soul. If that's you tonight, you're going to love this. These kind of parents want these truths and want this purposeful parenting because they want their children to live a life of godliness that is pleasing to God. They truly desire this in their heart. That's what they want for their children. You're going to enjoy these principles tonight. The kind of parents that also will love this kind of message are those who genuinely want to prepare their children to one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and they want their parenting to help prepare their child for that day. You're going to love these principles and these truths. Parents are the primary factor in the lives of their children, are they not? Children respond to their parents more than anyone else. They behave the way they do because that's how their parents allow them to behave. Children speak the way they do because that is how their parents allow them to speak. Their personality, even, is a byproduct of the atmosphere that their parents create within the home. Even their character of a child is molded by the training that their parents give them. This message is essentially going to be kind of a first in a short series that I would like to preach at every opportunity that I would have now to speak. Obviously, tonight is lesson number one, and there's no guarantee when sermon number two of this series will come. It may be in the next few weeks, and it may be in the next few months. I don't know. And you will probably completely forget everything that we have discussed tonight. But I'm really hoping not, because I do believe it will be a help to you. Because what we're going to do tonight is we're going to begin this type of series on parenting on purpose by focusing more on the parent than we actually do the child. I know, that probably seems surprising to you. And in fact, that probably is defeating to you. Because some of you may be thinking, well, I know my children or my grandchildren or whatever it might be, and we need help how to fix them. They're the ones with the issues. But tonight, we're not going to start with them. We're going to start with the parent. And I know the way it sounds, but it is the parent, after all, that is given the responsibility of rearing the child, is it not? Train up a child, Proverbs says, in the way he should go. This responsibility is given directly to the parent. So it's the parent who sets the rules. It's the parent who is the authority. It's the parent who determines what the atmosphere of the home is going to be like. So if we want to see change in a child, oftentimes it has to start in some ways with a change in the parent. This is why the purpose of a parent must be established prior to the parent really starting to set their path of what they want to do in their parenting styles. And I hope that today I will challenge you through the Word of God to be a parent who wants to take a godly, principled stand on parenting. A parent who doesn't just parent by what they feel like at the moment, or by what the modern whim that society tells us is the current and most popular parenting style or trend, but will parent with a biblical focus and purpose in mind. So tonight's message is obviously going to be a little different than what I would typically do. I usually would kind of land on a text and go verse by verse, or phrase by phrase, or sometimes word by word through that particular text. Tonight's a little bit different. We're going to take a little bit more of a topical approach and going to look at different scriptures and principles and apply them specifically to the matter of parenting. So where we'll start tonight is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 15. I'll ask you, please, to go with me to Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 14. Purposeful parenting, speaking specifically now to the parents. This is for you. Now remember, this can be applied in principles and truths to anyone that deals with a child in any particular way, or even to those of you that have adult children. Some of these are just as applicable for them. Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch." Luke chapter 6 and verse 39 reiterates almost the exact same words. If the blind lead the blind, then they both fall into the ditch. What does this have to do with parenting? Well, it really has to do a lot with parenting. Because remember, the goal of parenting is to help our children to learn and to gain a genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ, to establish a strong, vibrant relationship with their God. This is goal number one of parenting. If this be the goal, then this means the parents must first possess what they are trying to give, right? If the parents don't first possess what they are trying to give to the child, then what you have is a Matthew chapter 15, 14 situation. The blind are leading the blind. Essentially what you have is you have a parent that does not have a genuine, vibrant relationship with God. They don't have that. Trying to lead their children in a genuine, vibrant relationship with God, and it simply will not work. According to this text, they will both fall into the ditch. Another way to put it is the child will end up confused about what is right and what is wrong, truly, and the parent will end up frustrated because they can't get the right responses out of their children. Confusion and frustration equals the ditch described in Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 14. So a parent must possess a genuine walk with God before they can hope to be able to parent on purpose. You have to have a genuine walk with God. This goes far beyond a parent saying, "I am saved, I am baptized, and I am a member of a church." We're talking about a genuine, vibrant walk with God that can be sensed and can be seen in every single way. That's what you have to have. You say, "Well, what, my children are okay, they're doing pretty well, and I don't have a vibrant walk with God." And you're probably right, because parents can attempt to rear their child without a genuine walk with God. And this type of parent can even be successful in producing a moral, well-behaved child. But is a moral, well-behaved child the true goal of biblical parenting? I say it's not. It is not the true goal. It's about having a right relationship with God and teaching your child how to do the very same thing. Something they can truly carry with them into adulthood that is placed in their heart and not simply something that they've learned to do because of outward circumstances. So every folk parent, if you're going to parent on purpose, every single parent must have a genuine walk with God that is purposeful, that is intended, and that is genuine to you. I know I'm going to start very simple, and I apologize for starting so simple, but it has to be stated. If a parent is going to truly possess a genuine walk with God, one that their children sense, that they know, that they see, then there is no way to get around it that you have to start basic. You have to start with the aspect of daily Bible reading. Daily Bible reading. This is very basic, I know. But to truly be able to parent on purpose biblically, you have to have a genuine walk that is vibrant on a daily basis. And there's not a single one of us in this room that can have a genuine, vibrant walk with God outside of spending time in His Word on a daily basis. It is a disingenuous faith if we claim it publicly, but then never actually experience it privately. We become hypocritical, is what we are doing. So every parent or grandparent or anybody in this room that has any type of influence on a child, you have to possess a genuine walk with God. And yes, this involves daily Bible reading on your part. You have to read your Bible daily, not so your children see you, though that's a good thing, but so that way you have a genuine walk with God. It's in your daily Bible reading that God is going to guide you. It's in your daily Bible reading that God is going to grow you. It's in your daily Bible reading that God is going to teach you. You will grow in wisdom. You will grow in grace. You will grow in discernment. That all comes from your time in the Word of God. Of course, we know it goes well beyond daily Bible reading, and we can go to daily prayer as well. Again, continuing in the basics of Christian living, but it's the basics of a genuine walk with God, daily prayer. Prayer, parent or grandparent or aunt or uncle, is going to tune your heart to the heart of God. That's what prayer is going to do for you. You will become more Christ-like in your prayer life. And the guidance that you receive of the Holy Spirit of God is going to intensify because of the time that you're spending in prayer. So sometimes a Christian parent who is simply a nominal Christian at best can end up in some very frustrating parenting situations where they just want to call a pastor or they want to get a counselor. They need to find out, what do I do in this situation? They can try to find help from the outside. But much of the help that a parent can need can actually be found by a vibrant relationship with God and God's specific daily leading in their lives by the reading of the Scripture, by the prayer, and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and God will give them the step-by-step answers or solutions that they have to some of those big parenting concerns. But it starts with a genuine walk with God. So the challenge begins for parents tonight in this way. Parents and grandparents who truly want to parent your child or grandchild, whatever it might be, in a purposeful biblical way, is your walk with God genuine? It's not just important to you that your walk with God is genuine, that you're spending time with Him daily, that you are growing in grace and in Christ-likeness. It is not, when you're a parent or grandparent, just important for you. But it is equally important to the life, to the well-being, and to the outcome of your child. Your child is dependent on his or her parent having a good, close relationship with God. And that's where it starts for every single parent in this room. A genuine walk with God. And that's where I would encourage you to start. Then it kind of goes a little bit further than that. It's not just a genuine walk with God, but then it's being more than just a Sunday morning type of Christian, more than being just a nominal, lukewarm kind of Christian. But it's about being a parent who prioritizes God in the home. This is important as well. You see, the home is essentially the training ground for parenting. If you think about it, that's what the home is. It's like a model for your children, something they can look at, something they can view, and see how it all works. It's a model that teaches your children the how-to of real life that they're one day going to face. That's what the home is. Think about it. In home, your children learn how to love, and your children learn how to be loved. They need to know this throughout their entire life. Where do they learn it best? Well, it's modeled in the home. Not just that, but in the home, your children will learn how to forgive, and your children will learn how they are forgiven. They're going to need that all their life. Where is the best place for this to be modeled? In the home. In the home, they're going to learn how to respond to difficulties, because every single family is going to experience difficulties in their lives. And how are children, as they get older, to be able to know how to respond to difficulties? The best place is to see it modeled in the home, when they know there is a difficulty or a challenge that the family is going through. Now they learn how to trust in God, and on and on and on it goes spiritually. The best place for a child to be trained is to see it modeled in the home. But it goes well beyond spiritual things, and it even goes to some of those non-spiritual aspects of life as well that we model in our homes. Think about things like this. Non-spiritual things like how to wash dishes. Well, the kids learn how to do that in our home. Now, my wife was exceedingly grateful that I had dish duty at least once a week. It ended up being about every 2 or 3 days growing up, so that when I came into marriage, I knew exactly how to wash dishes. And she was thankful for that. Now, I've only done it a few times since, but it's because I got so burned out growing up. But I try to help. I bought a dishwasher, and I've washed them more ever since. Non-spiritual things like washing dishes, or how about washing a car, knowing how to wash a car. That's a good thing for them to learn in a home. What about even washing their clothes? It's a sad thing if a teenager gets to college and doesn't even know how to wash their own clothes. That's terrible if they don't know that. What about how to actually clean up a room properly? That's an important thing to learn in home. Teach your child how to clean their room properly. Or you can spend all of your years growing up and then all of the years that you have as a teenager going in and cleaning up after them and being frustrated about them. Don't do that. Teach them how to clean it properly. How about how to iron clothes? How to iron clothes. When I got to college, I was very thankful that I had been taught how to iron clothes, particularly as it seemed like most of the people didn't know how because they were walking around everywhere wrinkled. And I could not understand that. I couldn't wear clothes without ironing them. I learned that growing up. How to iron clothes, how to mow grass, how to bake a cake, and tons and tons and tons of other things. Not just the spiritual, but some of the more practical day-to-day essentials of life as well. Where is the best place for children to learn all of those things? It's in the home. That's where it is. So if the home is going to be such an intense training ground in the life of a child that is going to project them into the rest of their lives, then doesn't it make sense that the priority of the home would be God Himself? That's what it is. How do you make God a priority in your home in a really, really practical way? Look at Proverbs, if you would, with me. Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. In Proverbs chapter number 4, look with me if you would at verse number 1. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." There's this sense of hearing instruction, gaining doctrine, and keeping the words that are taught. So how do you make God a priority in a home in a practical way? You prioritize the Word of God. That's a really good place to start. Prioritize the Word of God. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that it seems simple to you, and you probably agree with it, but yet sometimes we actually violate it. The single most important resource for daily life that your children will learn, the single most important resource source that they will have is the Bible. The Bible will help them their entire lives. It will give them the solutions to every single problem, and it will always guide them to this life fulfilling and eternal. It will teach them about their God. It will teach them about themselves. It will teach them about others, and it will teach them how they are to live in the world. The Bible is the single most important resource that they have. And all of us would probably say, I agree. But then listen to this. More than education. Now, this is where we start kind of getting a little testy. More than the importance of education. Now, I'm not saying it's unimportant, but more than education. More than cultural sensitivities being taught to them. More than kind of the fond memories that we're always trying to create with our children. More than all of these things, your children need to know and understand God's Word. I know that that sounds like I'm speaking against education, and I'm not. But sometimes we as parents become more focused on making sure our children get a good education than making sure they know the Word of God. Say, we can do both. Sometimes we are more focused and concerned on making sure that our children are culturally sensitive and adapt, i.e., they've got to be in every sport. They have to be excelling at everything. They have to be in every extracurricular activity. They have to be able to play 1,000 instruments. They have to be able to do all these things. Things that are good, please don't misunderstand me. But the most important thing is that we give our children an understanding and a knowledge of the Word of God. You understand that your child's core beliefs about themselves, about this life, about this society, and everything they know must come from an understanding of the Scriptures. So prioritize the Word of God in your home. Make sure that parents not just teach the Bible, but teach your children to live the Bible. That's what you do. It's not just, let me teach you facts about the Bible. I want to teach you how to live the Bible out. Not just teach them to know the Bible, but teach them to know and understand about the God in the Bible and how that God wants to work in their life. Have family devotions with them out of the Bible. Look for scriptural applications in everyday life. And any opportunity you have, try to take a situation that they see and use that situation to teach them something about God or His Word. Use those circumstances, those situations. Communicate openly with your children about God's Word and about spiritual matters. That's how you prioritize the Word of God and ultimately how God becomes the priority. But also prioritize prayer. Matthew chapter, don't turn there for time, but Matthew 18, 19 essentially tells us that in two or three come together that there is prayer that is offered, and that when prayer is offered, when you ask, you shall receive. There is a tremendous power that is found in prayer. Prayer is powerful, and prayer is the key to receiving. Prayer is a vital element, as we talked about, of every single spiritual individual. So why don't parents pray for your children? I know this sounds very simple, but how many times do parents actually not even pray for your child on a consistent basis? You love your child. You want to see your child do well and be a success and all the good things, but yet you never actually pray for them. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for those with whom you influence. And as an adult child, parents, we'd appreciate if you never stop praying for us, even when we've moved on from the home. Don't just pray for your children, though. Pray with your children. Prayer with your children is the time where you are able to transfer the fellowship that your heart has with God to the heart of your child because they can hear it. That's what prayer does when you pray for your child. It allows the child to open up their ears and say, I hear Daddy, I hear Mommy talking to God, and we're doing it together. Don't just pray for your children, but pray with them as well. It would be good for every parent or grandparent to choose a time, if not daily because you're a grandparent, but to choose a specific time or situation where you always pray with your child. As a family unit and also as individuals, pray with each child individually so they don't just think that dad only prays when we're all together or mom only prays when we're all together, but they can hear your prayers to your God. They hear the way you talk to Him. Allow them to hear you pray when you pray with them. So choose a time where you can actually do it on a consistent basis. Not just we're going to pray before we eat, maybe before they go to bed, before they go to school in the morning. Something. Find a time where it's you and them and it's what they can always expect. Encourage your children to pray. If they say something or they're having a problem, as parents, we always try to fix the problems. Sometimes it would be just as advisable for a parent to say to the child, you know what, little guy, you know what? That sure sounds like something you need to pray about. And teach them that it's time for them to start going to God in prayer for themselves. This is how you prioritize God. Hebrews 10:25 says to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Another way to prioritize God in your home is to plug into your local church. Plug into your local church. The local church is God's institution for reaching the world, for preparing us for eternity, for growing Christian individuals, and for rearing a family. The local church is the institution that God has chosen for all of this. So your family as a whole and your children need to be plugged into the local church. How do I do it? Have your children in church at every single opportunity. I know it's busy and life is chaotic, but when you can have your kids in church, have your kids in church. It's a good thing. And it communicates negatively when your kids know that church is going on and you're not going. No legitimate reason. You're just not going. That doesn't communicate well to your children. It's a very confusing mixed message. So attend church regularly. Also, put your children in a position to develop a spiritual family and camaraderie with other children their age. Put them in a position to do that. How? Put them in Sunday school where they get to know people their age. Put them in the youth group where they get to know teenagers their age. Allow your children to get away from you a little bit and to start to build friendships with other boys and girls in the church or teenagers, whatever it might be, that are their age. So they actually start to feel a spiritual bond that can only come between brothers and sisters in Christ. And they sense that camaraderie, that family spirit. And it starts to not just have the parents loving the church, but the heart of a child becomes connected to the church because it's where the source of life is. They love it here, and they love the fellowship and the family and the camaraderie. That allows your children to plug into church. And then find ministry opportunities where the whole family can serve together. It's good to serve, and it's good for mom to serve here and dad to serve there and all of those things. I don't discourage that. But you know, it is very impacting when a family serves together. It is truly and genuinely the most impacting form of family type of togetherness is serving God together. It does something when a child is able to see their parents serve God, to work on God's behalf. It does something for the parent when the child is actually able to acknowledge in their prayers, God, please work because our family really wants to see this happen. You know how happy that makes the heart of a parent? It demonstrates a heart of a child that is connected to the church. And by connecting to the church, by connecting in prayer, and by connecting the Bible into your home, you essentially lift God up as being the priority of our home. And that's parenting on purpose. I'll close my last just few minutes by going over this last and final aspect. And I apologize for skimming over much of the scriptures for the sake of time. I'm mentioning the references so that way you could write them down for later study. But the last aspect is parenting must model godliness in the marriage. Parenting must model godliness in marriage. The most important example that a parent truly possess is their marriage. Have you ever thought about that? Children have a constant up-close view. I'm talking front row view to this most important relationship of their lives, mom and dad. And they constantly have the up-close view, the front row, their expensive seats, to mom and dad and how they get along together. And children learn more by the eye, oftentimes, than they do by the ear. And a child is able to learn just as much or probably more by what they see, the most important relationship they have, by what they see than by what they are told. So biblical, purposeful parenting begins with a godly marriage. That's where it starts. Because the marriage relationship, according to Ephesians 5:22, is to reflect the relationship between God, Christ, and His church. That's what the marriage relationship is intended to do. So since your children are so up close, front row view of your marriage, they should have a constant idea of the love that Christ has for His church, of the bond that Christ has with His church, of the sacrifice that Christ has with His church, of the closeness that Christ has with His church. Your children are the closest audience you have. So when your children watch, see, hear, listen, even when you don't even realize they're doing these things, but they are, what idea do you give them about Christ? Because true biblical parenting begins with a biblical marriage, a marriage that is a good representation of Christ and His church. And when it comes to parenting, it is a bad launching pad and will create a terrible launch if you start off with a poor marriage. Because a poor marriage ends up being a poor reflection of Christ and His church. And you can try to teach everything and anything you want to them with your mouth, but the fact of the matter is, they see you with mom and dad. They hear you with mom and dad. They watch you with mom and dad. They sense the atmosphere and the relationship that you have, tension. They sense all of those things. And if it contradicts what you're saying with your mouth, then you either have the ability to attract and draw your children to Christ by your marriage, or based on what you're saying but and what you're doing not being together, you have the possibility of pushing them away or repelling them from Christ and His church. It's tremendous power that parents possess. But the reason why is because adults compartmentalize our lives. We do. We can break our lives down into compartments. I can be a certain way as a pastor in church, and then I can be a different way at home as a father. But then I can be a slightly different way at home as a husband. And then I can kind of act and be a different way with my friends. And I've compartmentalized my life where I don't see it, but I'm quite different and sometimes even contradictory in the way I am in all the different places. We can do that as adults, can't we? We can compartmentalize ourselves. Children don't. They don't compartmentalize you. They see you as one whole individual who has a personal life, a professional life, someone who is a husband, a father, a dad, all of the things you are, it's one unit. And they look across everything they see here and everything, and they see you as one whole unit. And then that's what becomes their determining factor of what you're doing, what you're teaching, and what you're saying. So why we think we are being a good parent, what we don't realize is if I am being a poor husband and my children are observing me be a bad husband in the way I act or talk or treat my wife, they don't compartmentalize that. They see it as something very confusing about Daddy. So that's why we have to be careful when it comes to our marriage, that our marriage is always a reflection, and every aspect of our life, a reflection of something that we want them to draw towards Christ. That's why it starts with parents having a genuine, vibrant walk with God that then becomes the priority of the home, and then every aspect of what the parent sees all goes towards that one goal. God is the priority of our home, of our lives, and child must be the priority of yours too. Let me exemplify it for you. No parent in here is perfect. And when we talk about parenting like this, there may be parents who have kids that are grown and gone, and you're thinking, wow, I wish. And I might be thinking, I wish different from last week. No parent is perfect. But the thing about it is we can always start from now. We can always start from now. And so now is the perfect time to receive a parenting challenge and say, you know what? Maybe there are some things I need to work on. Maybe there are some things I need to do. And then start now. Let's pray. Father, may you bless us. May you guide us. May you assist us in how we are thinking and in what we are doing in relationship to our parenting. I am definitely thankful for how your word gives us multiple principles, specific references to parenting, and some just references to how we are as a person. My prayer is that you would guide us tonight in what we do as moms and dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, maybe even somebody who just works with children and can practice these things. I ask for your working in hearts now, Lord, please. I'm going to ask if you would please stand to your feet as quietly as you can for just a couple of moments. I'm going to ask